This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I want to give you praise. We want to shout out of joy, God, and we've sang praises this morning. We've shouted for joy, Lord God. We've danced. Lord, this morning we want to thank you for prepared ground. I want to thank you, Lord God, for every seed, every heart that is filled by the touch of you. If you've not experienced that this morning, if you've been standing here and this has just been music for you, I just want to encourage you to open up your heart. Really want your heart to be touched by God. Just open it up towards Him. The Lord has never departed from us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you make that choice for Him this morning. You choose to engage. You choose to receive. You choose to be expectant. Lord, may our hearts and the seed that is sown this morning, Lord, just honor you and glorify you. Let each of us hear your voice this morning, Lord God. Each of us hear your calling, your call this morning, Lord God, so we can run out of our graves. There's that song, Lord God, that says, "This changes everything." You're looking for those that are alive amongst the graves. But Lord, we proclaim this morning that we are not dead, but we are alive in the name of Jesus. I pray that we let go of our pride this morning. We let go of our agendas this morning. We let go of the preconceived idea of what you are going to do, Lord God. I pray that our hearts will be expectant, Lord God, for something major and something miraculous for this morning. Drain us and drench us, Lord God, in your spiritual rain this morning. That our feet may lift up. We will not feel ground underneath us, but Lord, we will feel you holding us. How majestic is your name in all the earth. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Who's been hanging on to an expectancy of rain coming today? So we just need to declare that. And you know, as God waters the earth and things grow, He lets rain fall on different people on different stages of their life. And He's brought two people in our lives that we had the privilege of spending time together. And in that and through that, we saw new life being given to them. And they believe that God is preparing new grounds for them. A new place to go and sow seeds. So I want just Liam and Alicia and little Louis James L here to come to the front, please. And as a congregation, for those of you that don't know yet, they have taken the big step of moving up into the north, the Divundu area. They're going to be lodging now. They're going to be big-time lodgers, and they're going to... Yeah, they've made new plans to, believing that God has planted something in their hearts for the people of Divundu. And I believe that's why they're going, because they want to be obedient to God. So just where you are, we just want to release them this morning. They're leaving in about 3 weeks, yes, on the dot. And we don't have any other time to get together. This will be their last Sunday in church. So we just want to, as a congregation, release them and pray a blessing over them. And yeah, just honor them for their faithfulness in hearing God's voice. So if you could just extend your hands. And Father, thank you this morning that we can pray a blessing over Liam and Alicia, Lord God, and Alia. Father, thank you for the testimony that they have to share. Oh God, from being broken, from being down, oh God, from being shattered to new life in Christ, Lord God. And then you bless them, Lord God, even more with brand new life in their arms. And Father, as you're blessing them with this new life, Lord God, as you bless them with new purpose, Father God, we just want to pray, Lord God, that you will continue to break the ground for them where they are going, Lord God, and that from this point forward, that every seed that they sow, Lord Jesus, will be with encouragement. It will be with faith, Lord God, knowing that you are the ultimate Savior. And that every word that is spoken, Father God, will be not from their mouths, but, Lord God, from their heart, of what you have deposited in them. So, Lord God, we bless them and we release them now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are continuing to paving their path for them, Lord God, preparing a way for them. Never leave them nor forsake them, Lord God, but just helping them endure. And Lord, may their minds and their hearts be renewed daily with the freshness of your grace and your mercy upon their lives. So Father, we honor you and we glorify you that you have chosen them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey. Excellent. Dankie julle. So feel free to bless them again afterwards and continue to bless them. So let me just get hands. Who was here on Tuesday night? Wow. Amen. Who's never heard of Stephen Lungu before? Thank you. Okay, good. Well, I can just tell you one thing that, you know, he is just this amazing man, but never taking anything for himself. Because everything that he is and everything that he gives glory to, it's not because of what he has done, it's because of what God has done. And here's the thing, what he didn't tell us, or what he, I shared it on Thursday morning at intercession, you know what the most amazing thing was about his life? It was about 30 years after he came to, he was preaching in Durban or somewhere, and halfway through the sermon, this lady stopped him. And she said, "Excuse me, you can't go ahead." And he's like, "What's going on here? What did I say wrong?" And she took out her Bible and she just opened it up at the back and she said, "Just read the date for me." And it was 14 May 1969 or 64. It was on the day that he got saved. And all that it said was, "God, please let one gang member get saved." A prayer and a spiritual seed that was planted on that day. And that woman did not neglect. It was two of them. They prayed for that crusade that was happening in Zimbabwe, in Harare on that day. And of all his gang members, he was a leader that got saved. He managed to make amendments or get together again with his mother, his father. You know what? God blessed him today with 19 children of his own, having a relationship with each one of them, and each one of them faithful to God alone. So this morning, I'm talking about faith is. I should actually, faith is in the harvest. Knowing that, you know, God is the provider of everything. So my life is very much boring. But let me start with something small. As many of you know, my dad passed away in 1995. And my mom realized that she's not going to be able to keep track of me and get hold of me. So she sent me to a farm about 200 kilometers away from us. And it wasn't because she was neglecting me or throwing me out or something like that. She just knew that another man had to impart in my life in order for me to get something. So this guy was a farmer, and farming back then was quite different, or farming in in that part of South Africa is quite different to what farming is in Namibia. Over here, 5,000 hectares is a reasonable amount of land to actually sustain yourself. Over there, if you have maybe 300, 400, 500 hectares, that's called a farm. Over here, it's called a small holding. So it's a farm back there, but the return on investment is great. So what they would do is they would take 200 or 300 hectare camps, and this particular, for Kubas, it was the same. He's farming with cattle, with sheep. He was having millets or maize there, and there was soya beans and sunflower. And as a farmer, he planted every single season, believing that what he puts in the ground will produce a harvest. But the point, the thing of farming is not as easy as we sometimes think it is. You know, but sometimes, many people just see the idyllic life of people coming into town, and then you have this Range Rover. No, they don't farm with Range Rovers here. It's a Land, sometimes Land Cruisers, and they come into town with these big VX200s or the V8s, and people walk and people see that this guy's from that part of the country, and he is farming, and it must be good with him because he's got that amazing vehicle, or he's got that amazing house and land and 20,000 hectares and this and that. But there's a big amount of effort that goes into every single thing that is on that farm. Everything that is planted, there's an expectancy that it will grow. So with Kubas and them, I remember the first time that we drove in to this farm, there was about 20 or 30 ladies, and they were having bags in their hands, pulling it, and they were picking up the crops as the harvester went in front of them, and some of them did not manage to get into the harvester. So they would pick that up, and then at the end of the day, they would bring it together, and they would get their wage, and we would take that, and we would pour it back into the harvester, and then get the raw product to take to the market, or to the silos and store it there, storage places. So my first impression of farming was very easy. It was like, hey, I walk into that place, or I get there, and here's a bunch of people that's doing the work for me. So farming can't be that difficult. But needless to say, that was my first impression, my first view. I sort of had a thing of distancing myself and saying, hey, but it's easy. I can just eat my breakfast in the morning, and then there would be enough people. But when the season was finished and it was my time to, and Kubas started teaching me, things became very different. Because my view of farming completely changed. As you get up in the morning, you take the tractor, and after the harvest is done, you need to start preparing the ground for the next season. Preparing the ground before the new way of no tilting became a thing. They had to take the tractors and these round discs, run with them up and down, and it was just this massive big cloud of dust. After that, they would put the plow in and they would run with it, and then hoping that the rain would come at some stage, they would plant. And if it's too much rain, the small little seeds will drown. If it's too little rain, it might grow, but not to the expected return of what they see. So a good expected return from them started off as about 4 tons per hectare of millets that they harvested. And then as they grew wiser in the way that they farm and the seeds grew better, the return on investment was roughly about 12 tons to a hectare. Planting 200-300 hectares, you can imagine what they were getting in return. But it's easy just to look at it and see, hey, that's not too difficult to do. But you've got to keep your eye on the harvest. So as soon as you plant it and there's sufficient rain, there's weeds in every part of that land that is growing. The tractor has to go. You've got to get the necessary Roundup and chemicals in order to run through that land and make sure that the weed, because weed grows a lot faster than the crop itself, and that the weed will not take over. And then you've got to make sure that by the time, and you've got to protect it from pests and everything, and then at the end of the season, once the corn becomes dry, you've got to harvest it at the right time in order to make sure that it's dry enough so that you can store it, otherwise it becomes stale. And here's the thing. Between the farming and faith in our lives, there's not a big difference. When you farm, you have that expectancy of a return. And the same should be with the faith that we have in Christ. See, if I don't harvest, if I'm not a laborer in the field, then what am I believing in? See, God says in the Bible, Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 17, he says, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs in Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are children in God's kingdom. John 1 verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you believe in Christ, you are considered a child in the house of God. Nowadays, it's easier because parents do all the things for their children, not in all circumstances. But in my days, I was expected, as young as 12 years old, to put my hands on that tractor and do what is needed for the harvest to be, for that ground to be well prepared that the rain can come and raise a crop and make that grow. Being a child of God means we share in the profits, we share in the suffering, we share in the victory. So we all have a part to do in the kingdom of heaven if we consider ourselves to be born again Christians. But one thing in all of this is that if I do not have faith in the seed that I plant, and believe that it will grow to become a fruitful tree or a harvest that we can reap from, what am I planting? Faith in Christ. Faith in believing that whatever seed I sow will grow. And faith that's derived from the Latin fides and the old French fide, it's confidence or trust in a person, thing, or concept. Nowadays, if you go to the supermarket, you'll find these small packets of seeds of various kinds of fruit or vegetables or even trees for that matter. Small, tiny seed you plant in the ground expecting it to grow and bear fruit. But we need to have faith in every single seed that we sow. And that is the part where we need the assurance of our faith. And what does the Bible have to say about that? What does the Word of God say about assurance of faith? And we're going to read from Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 25. So if you have your Bibles and your notebooks, please make a note there. Verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over this house, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Three things this morning. Because each of us has a bag of seed in our hands. Each of us are carrying a handful of seed every single day that God is delivering to us. And from that place, we need to sow it, because we are laborers in the kingdom of God. Yaku mentioned something last week. He said that there's unemployment in this country, but there's no unemployment in the kingdom of heaven. For each of us are called to be obedient to God's calling and be laborers in the kingdom of heaven. So the first thing this morning that you can take with you in knowing the assurance of faith in our life is that faith in Christ is encouragement. Faith in Christ is encouragement. It says, it starts off in verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place." You see what is happening here? There's that small little sentence called therefore, or word. Whenever there's such a word in the Bible, you need to know that something happened prior to that. Therefore, because of that, therefore, this and this and this is happening. Well, this and this and this, we can have confidence. So when we look at the word confidence, we know that earlier in Hebrews, the writer speaks of the sacrifice and that on the Day of Atonement. Once a year, all the high priests got together and they made, on the Day of Atonement, they made sacrifices, animal sacrifices, so that we can be reminded of our sin and from that place be saved. But here's the thing, or cleansed from our sins. But that particular day left us still to be reminded of the sin that we have every day. It brought upon guilt upon ourselves. Should I have done something different? Should I have done things another way? And that's such a great reminder for the people of Israel. But in our day today, if somebody reminds you of something that you did, you have that guilty thing in you. You're like, shucks, could I have done something different? But here's the thing, if we don't deal with it correctly, then it's gonna eat us up. It's the same as a weed or something growing in between our crops. If we don't deal with that, and here's the encouragement that we have. Faith in Christ is encouragement, saying that, you know, we do not need to feel guilty anymore because Christ came and he saved us all. Christ came and he died. He paid the full price, giving us the assurance of faith of a saved life in him because of what he has done on the cross. So even a sacrifice back then could not sanctify the people, but only Christ could. Only Christ could. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That is encouragement. That is assurance of faith. Our encouragement is not in the system or the ceremonial law and the way it was done, but that was all done away by a better one, the perfect, blameless Lamb of God. And on that, David writes in Psalm 40, verse 6 to 8, he says, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. An encouragement that God's new and living way for us to please him is not by keeping the law or even by abstaining from sin, but it is coming to him in faith, believing that Jesus Christ paid the price for us. And that is encouragement. When you have the seed in your hand and you sow, you have the encouragement that that seed was once sown into your life. That seed, that's the reason why you are sitting here today. Because each one of us received a seed in our lives. And God could grow that seed with his spirit and his water. And now we look back and say, okay, but what fruits are we bearing in that? The second thing that you can know about faith is that faith in Christ is hope. Faith in Christ is hope. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If a company promises a seed that is planted in the ground that will bear a certain, or that will bring up a certain amount of return for you on that particular crop, wouldn't you go for it? In us, the thing is, we know the seed that is sown into our lives is something that we have tried. We have it in our lives. It has been tested, because we all sit here this morning. Excuse me. We all sit here this morning, and it yielded fruit. Because in some way, at some point in our lives, we've brought somebody with us, and we've planted a seed in their lives. Through our relationship with Christ, our hope in him, we overcome the doubts, fears, questions, and so on. But what is hope? Romans 8 verse 24 says, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For he who hopes for what he sees, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Think of a farmer. You plant a seed, you do all you can. You do all you can through that whole season. But if you've planted it and it has just grown, and is what hope would you have? You'd be a successful farmer all your life. But now there's something more that draws us back into Christ, saying, listen, my dependency is on Christ himself. I need to hope in him. I need to hope in the seed that he's planted and the seed that I plant in somebody else, that hope will grow. And that God will provide whatever is needed in this person's life for him to grow. So the faith that we have in Christ, the assurance of faith in Christ, says that, you know, we can go out with encouragement. We can know that when you go out and you sow a seed, it will yield something in return. Because God never sows and not reaps from that. He doesn't sow emptiness. So from that encouragement, we can know that the seed that we sow, we can have the hope in that, knowing that it's the best ever. It's the best on the market. And this is not a sales pitch, believe me. Please don't get me wrong this morning if I tell you that when we go out there, you know, you're going to tell people, oh, my pastor said I need to sell you Christianity. No, absolutely not. You just need to have the hope that what you believe in and you sow out there will grow into a harvest and bear fruit. Psalm 39 verse 7 says, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. So often we just sit and we wait and we wait and we wait. And at that very last moment, God comes through for each one of us. God brings a light. You know, he calls us. And out of the darkness we run into his glorious day. Into his light. Because he called us. Because of a seed that somebody sowed in our lives. He heard. We heard that. We heard the voice of God because somebody has sown a seed in our lives. Sown a seed with encouragement. Sown a seed with hope that once they sow it into my life, it will bear fruit. David's request for forgiveness and relief comes after he is sure his suffering is from God due to sin. But still declares his hope and God in God and asks God to deliver him from his transgressions. Faith in Christ gives hope that when we sow a seed, our hope in Jesus is that he saved us and that he can do the same for that person, entrusting that person into God's hand. Knowing, hey, Lord, I've done what I had to do. But when I sit on the couch and I've not plowed the lands, I've not gone to be a laborer out there, and I sit on the couch with my DSTV watching the rugby on a Sunday morning or a Saturday afternoon or a Tuesday morning, and other people are laboring out there, what return am I going to yield in my life? And are we expectant of the return? We should be. Are you content? Are you content in the area that you are? The work that you've done in Christ, in the kingdom of heaven? So we've seen now that the assurance of faith gives us encouragement and it gives us hope. But all of this is going to be in vain if we do not believe the one last thing. And that is faith in Christ saves. I can do whatever I want. I can plow the lands. I can plant the seed. I can sing the hallelujah songs. In the end, it's Jesus that saves. None of us can do that. None of us can do that. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that day is in capital letters. If I sit here, or I'm sitting here this morning, and I'm excited, because if Christ comes today, I know I'm sorted. I have faith in Christ. I have assurance of faith in Christ. I know that my God has saved me. And I will sit with him one day because of my relationship with him, because I declared him as Lord and Savior, because I confessed him as Lord and Savior of my life. But on the other hand, I'm also slightly worried because there's still a lot of people around me that is not saved. I've kept my eye on a certain part of my crop and I've neglected the part where the weeds are growing. But I need to still have faith that in the end, Christ will save. Luke 7 verse 50, and this is a story of the woman entering the house where Jesus was reclining with the Pharisees, and she had many sins and they knew it, but she came in and she cried at the feet of Jesus. She washed his feet with his tears. She dried it with his hand, with her hair. And then she anointed Jesus' head with oil and kissed his feet. And then Jesus goes on and he takes on the Pharisees. He says, though I'm dining with you, you didn't even give me a bucket to wash my feet. You didn't even give me something to dry it off with. You didn't even put oil or whatever out there it is to anoint me as a guest in your house. But here this woman comes from the outside. You tell her that she's full of sin. But listen to the words of Jesus as he says, and he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go on in peace. Are we able to say that? No. But Jesus alone is. Because he knows us better than any person on earth. When all else seems lost, Jesus can save. When you sit out there, you've lived through many dry seasons, and I believe this is where us as Namibia are at the moment. We see the dry season. We see what is happening in our country. But do we still have faith that Jesus can save? We have the encouragement. We have the hope because he's done it with us. But do we still have the faith that Jesus can save? You know, when Peter and Leontron visited us in the past 2 weeks, we sat in the mornings and we had breakfast. And they would just start talking about when they still had their farm in Lanesburg and they became born-again Christians. And then Louis Brits asked them to go with them throughout the whole of South Africa on these youth crusades that they would have. And you know what they would tell me? They would tell me that, you know, they would prepare, the caterers would cancel the Thursday morning. The camp would start the Friday evening. They're expecting 3,000 to 4,000 youth coming in. The caterers would cancel because it was too much for them. And then they had to go in and they had checkers in the areas of where they lived, checkers opening up their kitchens for them so they can go in and prepare food, whether it was a bologna or a brechen or a vorsi or whatever it was. But God provided in every single crusade the 3,000 to 4,000 that was needed. People just came from wherever. And here's the thing. They talked about those times with tears in their eyes. And the reason being is when we gather together, when we arrange something, where is the excitement and the hope and the belief that God will come and he will fill a place? Stephen's past week was this church and our church, we had 170 people. Walvis Bay, which is also a small church, had 150 people. The community center in Swakop, where they were expecting the biggest crowd, was 500 people. Now that's just something that I'm leaving with you this morning, because if I plant a seed, knowing what return it yielded, doesn't God prepare a better way for us all the time? Something newer, something greater, something more spectacular. But as farmers, we've grown accustomed to the old ways and not renewing our ways week in and week out with what God is placing in our hearts. Ways, measures, anything that we need to do to get the people into the kingdom of heaven. As I said before, we value the life of a person more than we value the soul of a person. A life will end. But a soul, if saved in Christ, will continue to live forever. And you know what? Right at the end, in that last seconds, when you think all is lost, you have the encouragement, you have the hope, you've planted, you said, Lord, this is it. We've been praying for this person, believing something will happen in his life. God comes and he rushes through. He says, I've had it all along. It's not for you to worry about. Because all you need to know is that Christ saves. Are we still encouraged by what Christ has done for us? Do we still have the hope of who Christ is through us? And do we still know that Jesus saves? And I believe the raindrops that you're hearing on the roof now, it's just that mercy God and the grace is God pouring out on us this morning. Saying, you know what, you can trust in me. And I believe God is trusting each one of us this morning. As we're going to take communion now, God is entrusting something small to each one of us. He's saying to us, how are you and I part of the harvest? Have we gone to that place where we've grown stale in a sense and we've neglected? It's more comfortable in front of the TV. It's more comfortable in the winter times and the hard times to be in the house rather than outside and plying the lands and harvesting the crop. What is God asking of each one of us? What is God asking of you? What is God asking of me? What are you willing to give up? What are you going to give up? What is God asking you to give up in this time? We've grown comfortable. We've grown content that 10 or 15 or 20 people in church on a Sunday morning is enough for us. But God has it otherwise. He says, you know what, leave the 99 behind and go for the one. Because all of the 99 that is there, they're already saved. But that broken one, the one that's in the far field, that's the one that you need to get. Bert, if you could just switch the lights in the front for me, please. I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, this morning, I believe God wants to share something special with each one of us. We take communion and when we celebrate it in the bigger group, but I really feel that God wants to become personal this morning. Because he's challenging each one of us in a personal capacity. And God is saying, you know, this bread that we break, this is my body. But you know what, it's not for, we can claim it in the larger group, but you know what, it's for you personally. You that are gathered here, you that are out there, sitting in the rain, sitting in the dryness, in a drought. There's no distinction because God has done it for each one of us. So when we take this, God is dealing with you personally this morning. He says he did it for you personally. You are not part of the crowd, but you are his son. You are his child in his house. And he did that for you. So when you take the bread, just give it to God. Say, Lord, thank you. You've chosen me. And as we take the juice, it's a remembrance, you know, that God did not pour out his blood just over us. I just want to give you, I just want to read something. Romans 5 verse 5, and it says that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when you take this, when you take a breath, when you take a sip of this, you can know that God poured it directly into your spirit. And this is the resemblance. It's not just on the outside. It's not just covering you, but it's infiltrating you. It's in you from within. So let's give that back to God and say, Lord, thank you. When you're done, let us all stand. Adrian, I want to ask you, if you sing that last song again, please. But just before we start with that song, I want to give an opportunity. If you've never committed your life to Christ, if you've never gone through the process of saying, Lord, a seed has been sown in my life. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that where I am, there's weeds and things growing around me. But you can come and save me, Lord God. Because what I've heard today is, Lord God, that in faith in you gives me encouragement. It gives me hope. But it also gives me the assurance of faith that you save me. Because if I confess with my heart and believe with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I will be saved. And then one day when we get to heaven and God says to certain people, depart from me because I do not know you, you can say, Lord, but I know you because I have accepted you and I've built my relationship with you. If you are here this morning, you have a desire in your heart to do that, to commit your life to Christ for the first time, you can just raise your hand for me. But if you are here this morning and you know that you've been a lazy farmer, you know that you haven't done enough in the kingdom of heaven, you know that you've not upheld your part and your end of the bargain. It's not about the works, it's about the faith. We know that Christ saves, but you have a part to play in that. And if you are here this morning and you're like, Lord, I've fallen short. I've fallen short. God says the hope that we have in Christ does not put us to shame, but the love of God is poured out into our hearts. And that's where restoration, healing takes place. And that's where I want to call you this morning. Say that if your laboring has been lazy, you've not gone and done what God has asked you to do, you've been disobedient, I want to give you an opportunity to repent before the Lord this morning. Bring that to Him. And here's the thing. We can very easily stand there and say, yeah, no, I'm not going to show my face this morning. But that step of obedience, that step of acknowledging it, births something new in your heart. It shows a willingness that God is willing, that God wants to work with you. And that you're allowing God to work with you. So if you've fallen short of that area, just remember that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but there's no shame as well. The hope we have in Christ does not put us to shame.
So I want to invite you to the front. I want to invite you just to come to God. As we sing that song, and just bring it to Him. Just take that next step and say, Lord, here I am. I just want to give that to You. I trust that You have a word for me. I trust that You have somebody to place somebody on my heart. If there's spiritual pride, if there's anything that hinders you from taking that step, bring it to God this morning. Because Jesus came to set the captives free. And He's going to break the shackles. He's going to break the chains that of bondage around you this morning. If you want to do that, take that step forward now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.